Okay. So like if you so let's say that you are the world's dumbest hippie and you're like, "Oh man, we got to fill these balloons with nitrous for the big fish party." And you accidentally mistake your fire extinguisher for your nitrous tank and you fill a whole bunch of balloons with fire retardant foam. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for Video Games Hot Talk, episode number 65. How you bros Ooh, doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
How are you?
How I am? I'm tired as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the reason I'm tired as shit is because I went to bed at about 2, like you do, and then was awoken at 6 by my neighbors saying, "Hey, maybe you want to fix this volcano of water in your lawn."
Was it a lawn at that point, or was it some sort of swamp or pool?
It was really lakey. It was lakey.
Nice.
So, yeah, I signed up for irrigation, which the way that that works when you get irrigation here instead of, like, watering your lawn with sprinklers is that there's a series of canals all throughout Phoenix where, you know, if you're, like, a rancher, you can use that water to drown your cows or whatever they use it for,
out of their misery.
Everybody who owns property is entitled to like use of it if they want it, right? So you can schedule certain times where they will open a series of gates that runs the water to your property, and if your property is designed like with berms in the lawn and a valve so that you can actually tap into that network, then it just floods your lawn, and so you do that like once a month, and that's enough to keep your lawn verdant and natural.
It's totally
not natural. But anyway, I finally, after a series of ordeals, I got it working and successfully irrigated yesterday or the day before yesterday. And then that night, about a foot from the valve, I guess, like suddenly running a system that had not been used for 20 years. And by system, I just mean like a pipe, because that's all it is. It's just like a pipe that goes under the ground and like an opening at each end. And one of them has a river and one of them has my yard. But it apparently, the pressure, somebody else ordered water but then didn't open their valve. And the additional pressure created by that caused something to happen on my end that just broke through the valve, and so now there's like, I don't even know what's going to happen. Anytime anybody in the neighborhood irrigates, my yard is going to flood.
Huh.
But man, there was a lot of water coming out of there. It was nuts. And it was 6 in the fucking morning. And I came home at like 2, and there's all this water in my lawn. And I was like, that doesn't look good. And I wanted to make sure it wasn't anything that I could do anything about. So I just went to bed. And then when they woke me up at 6, it still wasn't anything that I could do anything about. So I just had to wait for the gatekeepers to keep their gates. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Now the yard is wet. A lot of things floated away. I don't think anything actually floated away. How you guys been? Moist?
Been good. I can't think of anything that I've done that wasn't video games.
I mowed a lawn and got bitten by a lot of ants. That was sort of like playing a video game.
Awesome.
Huh.
Like super lawnmower, where the enemies are ants that bite you on the fucking ankles. I shouldn't be mowing the lawn in flip-flops.
I went to the Bristol Renaissance Fair.
What's that? Renaissance Fair. Sorry.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. It is probably the coolest Renaissance Fair, or whatever, that I have ever been to.
I don't know. The Arizona one's pretty cool.
This one is set in the woods, and there's like a couple ponds in it, and like there are just trees everywhere, and it's just like the setting is really, really nice. It's like just sort of this perfect little Renaissance hamlet. It's really, really big. Ton of stuff to just like wander around and do. You know, it has the traditional like, you know, turkey legs and overpriced.
Does the Renaissance Hamlet have a booth where you play a game where you try to identify whether something is a hawk or a handsaw?
No, it did not.
You try and fit the entire world in a nutshell.
But they had a bunch of crazy stuff that I'd never seen at any other Renaissance festival. Like they had a pirate ship that was built on the lake for kids to like go on and explore and stuff. I didn't go into it, but it looked like there were kids just like going nuts, having all sorts of fun running around. There was this like area that was just it was just a bunch of trees with sort of string wrapped between them in sort of spiderweb patterns, and then people sort of play acting like they were fairies and fauns and stuff like that, just wandering around doing weird shit, which was cool.
They weren't play acting like they were Catherine Zeta-Jones in Entrapment, where they were lively avoiding the strings. That's what we used to do when we were kids.
And then there was a section of the fair that was just like sort of like historical reenactment type stuff. There was like old...
Civil War.
Yes, yeah, Civil War stuff. No, they were doing like awesome. Just like old Renaissance era dances and like Renaissance, you know, like real Renaissance instruments and music and stuff,
Kevin,
like that.
This sounds fucking horrible.
I mean, it had all the standard.
Say it sounds horrible. It sounds
had all
like
the standard Renaissance stuff,
festival.
But it was like really cool that it had like a bunch of other interesting things going on.
People dancing around like fairies in a fake spiderweb string.
Yeah, it was really neat. I think if you'd been there, you would have thought it was pretty cool.
Okay, I mean, I would have been pretty drunk, so
yeah,
I probably would have been more inclined to be accepting of other people.
Yeah, I mean, I got
there.
Did
you throw any knives?
I did not throw any knives. I didn't actually do a lot of the like stuff. It was extremely crowded the day that we went. The weather was really, really nice. I think people had driven in from all over the place. It's about like an hour north of Chicago, just barely over the border into Wisconsin. So,
mm-hmm. I guess that explains the lakes.
Yeah. I mean, they're not really lakes. I guess they're either very small lakes
actually,
or large ponds.
They're actually just cheese. So that's cool.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend.
You didn't do it. You didn't. Did you drink any mead or eat a turkey leg?
I did. I had a turkey leg. I had, what else? I did the like those frozen like fruit ice things
very Renaissance-y. How would you do that? You'd have to store them on the top of a nearby mountain.
You just need a wizard or a
I've only ever eaten them at Renaissance fairs
magic.
Though. So I don't know. What else do we have? We had
our centaur's big on ice magic.
Sure.
Yeah. I had an artichoke, like a roasted artichoke. We had some there was the Far East traders, and so we had some falafel and stuff there, and hummus.
Okay. Did you rub down Bill O'Reilly's girlfriend with it?
I did not.
I don't think that girl was his girlfriend. Anyway. Cool. So artichokes. Are artichokes those things that are like...
pine cones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking...
Like
fuck
large,
artichokes, man.
Large
how do you even
cones.
Eat that shit?
You basically I don't know. I think they roast them maybe, and then you take them and you pull off a leaf, and then you eat just a little tiny bit of it, but you dip it in butter first. It's mostly for the butter.
So how about you just had a bowl of butter and a spoon?
Yeah,
The artichoke.
That's kind of what you're
flavor,
doing, right?
And then at the very center,
tiny little bites off of the spoon.
At the very center of the
time.
Artichoke is the artichoke heart, which is a thing you probably have eaten and liked.
No, those are good. Those are actually edible, unlike the rest of the artichoke.
Sure, but I mean, like, do you complain about pecans because the outside isn't particularly edible?
No, I just don't eat
them. I know that I really hate having to throw away all of that apple so that I can eat that core that I love.
Yeah. Well, you can feed the rest to a centaur. They really like it. It's weird. Or, you know, maybe like a sugar cube every once in a while, but you want to be careful. Because if a centaur gets diabetes and loses its feet, it is fucked.
Yeah, but it's got four of them. It can lose twice as many as a person can and still go.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty awkward if it loses its back ones. Like, whoa, hey, guys, whoa.
Yeah,
hey, guys, what's up? Nothing.
It needs
what are you guys doing this
it
weekend?
It needs those back
Nothing.
Legs to propel itself forward on its face like that unicorn.
Oh, man. I've told you guys, I have a fairly common last name, and I came to Gmail fairly early, and so I get a tremendous amount of mail that is just for other people with my first initial and my last name who think that my email address is theirs, and I got, I think, the most interesting one that I've ever gotten a couple days ago, which was PDFs that were scans of the birth certificate and social security card of somebody with the same name as me.
Whoa.
So I feel like if ever there was an opportunity to do some real serious identity theft,
yo,
the day before yesterday was it for me. I I would have to pass for 19 in order to do it, which I probably can't pull off.
Mm.
But I don't know. I mean, I could just tell them some jokes, and then they would think, "Oh, well, are you sure you're actually 19 and not 9?"
4,
yeah.
Boners.
And then I picked up Riff's girlfriend at the Renaissance Fair, and we entertained her at my domicile in Chicago for
with additional fairy dancing. Did you tie some yarn between all of the knobs on the dresser and do some fairy dancing?
Yes.
Did you have a maypole?
We did. We had a maypole.
Wasn't it sort of like starting to rot?
Maypole?
They have an expiration date on them. They're made of mayonnaise, right? That's why they call them that.
I think you're thinking of the Mayo Clinic.
It's just a stack of open jars of mayonnaise that you dance around. You wouldn't even be able to, like, you'd have to, like, weld them together, so you can't weld glass. You're a glass blower. If you wanted to make
the worst game of wizard staves.
For every entire jar of mayonnaise you drink, you duct tape that jar to the bottom of the new jar. Oh, yep. Man. You guys, I got so fucked up last night. I must add like 14 jars of mayonnaise. Oh, man. Man, even one jar of mayonnaise is too much.
Yeah, well, it depends.
Even one spoonful of mayonnaise.
I like mayonnaise a lot. I couldn't eat a whole jar at once.
Well,
Kevin could do the Worcestershire
like
sauce
white
wizard
bread.
Stuff.
Like, I could probably eat an entire jar of Miracle Whip. If I also had a loaf of white bread.
I don't even like being in the same room as a jar of Miracle Whip.
What about Cool Whip?
Cool Whip's okay.
Yeah, I like Cool Whip just as much as I like whipped cream. I don't think there's anything sacrosanct about the stupid nitrous blasting jar can. Can? Is that a can?
Yeah.
It's got a not like Easy Cheese.
Yeah.
Easy Cheese is good though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But cool cheese, not so.
Easy cheese, it's like not so good. Not really.
Oh, it tastes really good.
Yeah.
You just, what you do, here's what
I
you
mean,
do.
I mean, it's not good for cheese.
Yeah,
but
it's good. It's good as a substance, as a salt and fat delivery system.
Super artificial tasting. Like, every now and then
right.
I'll crave
here's
that,
what you do.
But usually not so much.
Here's what you do. Here's one of two things that you do. Step one in both of these scenarios is get super high. Then
sure.
Step two in both of these scenarios is get a tube of Ritz crackers. Step three can go one of two ways. One is that you go to the refrigerator and pull out a whole bunch of the single serving Philadelphia cream cheese tubs that you've smuggled out of the cafeteria, several per day in your pockets. Or alternatively, get a can of Easy Cheese and then just sit there and eat the entire thing without drinking any water.
Whoa.
The entire tube of Ritz crackers. So with Ritz crackers, I once got up to a 7 cracker Ritz cracker and Easy Cheese stack. It gets real hard to chew at about 5.
God.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, you have to start eating.
That
it.
Must have been the most delicious thing you've ever
it was,
eaten. Though.
It was pretty good, yeah. Because I mean, everything tastes better when it's sitting on a Ritz, right? So it follows that the most delicious thing in the universe is the top Ritz on an infinitely tall stack of Ritz. Do you know how many Ritz crackers it would take to get to the moon? Delicious.
Oh, but then the moon would be the most
Ooh,
delicious thing.
The moon would be pretty tasty. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's good. Anyway, you guys been playing any video games?
I played a little bit more of Final Fantasy 13, which continues to be weird.
Have you turned into Crystal yet?
No, but one of my guys did gain the ability to summon two magical ladies who can combine to transform into the world's sexiest motorcycle.
Okay. I don't know. You know, having recently... again played a Centaur pinball machine, the competition for the world's sexiest motorcycle is pretty fierce.
Ice magic.
Yeah. It would ball number one frozen is what it would say.
Other than that, not a lot.
So really two ladies that turn into a motorcycle?
Yeah.
How do you, is one of them like holding the front wheel and
no,
one of them
they
is
both kind of have wheels growing out of their heads And when they combine, what? It kind of looks like they're 69ing, except enough not like that to, you know, make it past
and also,
the sensors.
Oh, man, these two super hot girls with motorcycle tires on their heads.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
That seems gross. That seems like not a sexy motorcycle at all. It's just like a regular motorcycle would be sexier than that.
How does the axle of the wheel work? I don't even understand.
Magic.
Is it like a hover motorcycle that the wheels don't actually have to turn?
No, it does seem like they are actual functional wheels.
Huh. Because, I mean, it could be, you know, like people gauge their ears or put those plates in their lips. So it could be that from a very young age, these girls started embedding larger and larger wheels underneath their forehead skin. Oh, the back of their head? Okay, yeah. And so, you know, now it's just like, is there hair on the wheels?
It is not particularly clear to me whether or not they have hair.
Okay.
They might be kind of Bene Gesserit-ish, or the blue woman in Farscape.
Okay. All right. I mean, so the one thing about the Bene Gesserit is their propensity to double up and turn into motorcycles.
Yes. That was my favorite part of that book.
Yep.
Other than that, pretty much just wow. I spent the weekend giving up alchemy and going to engineering and realizing how much I missed engineering and how much fun it is compared to alchemy, which is boring and sucks.
What? I like alchemy.
There's nothing.
The only reason that I would ever give up alchemy is to get tailoring so that I could get a flying carpet.
Be an alchemist and an engineer. What did you keep that wasn't alchemy?
I also dumped herbalism in favor of mining. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, see,
I'm not
mining.
Gonna buy
mining
all the
is
ore
boring.
For engineering off of the. Yeah, mining is boring. But
herbalism
is
boring too.
Awesome.
So keep alchemy and
teleporters that go everywhere. I've got robots that are mailboxes, and it's sweet.
That doesn't. I mean.
Yeah. Wow. That
sounds like a kind of a shitty robot.
Cool.
Right. Like.
No, but it's useful as hell.
Well, yeah, sure. But
so
why does it have to be a robot?
Or...
Why can't it just be a mailbox?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it could just be a magical mailbox.
I mean, what's
mailbox,
the difference between a mailbox and a robot that is a mailbox?
Well, a robot that is a mailbox, you can summon it inside a dungeon when your bag is full of shit.
But so could a you could do that with a mailbox, too.
If I had a magical mailbox.
Okay. So you're saying you build...
It's not it being a robot. Is being that it is a robot mailbox is not the cool part. The part that... The fact that it is a mailbox that I can have wherever
okay.
I am.
And I guess because it is not magical, it works only because it is a robot. Right.
Oh, I guess okay. So the because robot. Your mailbox can have an infinite amount of stuff in it, so your mailbox is like an infinite storage capacity inventory.
Basically.
Huh.
Yeah, if you're willing to put up with a lot of really irritating bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, you can only access the top 50 things in it, but...
Like the top 50 sexiest things.
Yes.
Okay.
Top 50
oh,
sexiest things.
You can also make motorcycles.
Mailbox.
You can make motorcycles. And it's not like those wizard motorcycles that are made out of two ladies. It's like bullshit Orange County Choppers bullshit motorcycles that ruin World of Warcraft.
I could make one of those, but most of the cost in making one of those is vendor purchased parts. And
yep.
The price never drops on those. So it's still like. 15 grand to make one. And
you know,
like,
that's good. I wish it cost 15 million gold so that no one would ever fucking have one.
Can't you also make like a helicopter or something?
Yeah, you can
make a helicopter. Half the reason I'm a druid, though, is because the single best mount in the game is druid flight form, in my opinion.
Okay.
So why is that?
I would never...
Is it faster to cast?
It is instant cast. You can cast it while you're like falling out of the air. You can... You can do a lot of things without leaving flight form. So, like, if you've got a quest where you have to pick up a block of iron off the ground or something, you can just dive bomb it and grab it and fly up again before monsters.
So
the bird is
assumed to have opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
Can you go mining?
Unfortunately, you cannot. That was what stopped me switching from herbalism to mining for a long time. Is because you can pick herbs as a bird, but you cannot mine as a bird.
I mean, that makes sense. I've seen birds.
Yeah, they're not very good miners.
No, I mean, I sometimes see a bird eating some
herb.
Grass or whatever. Yeah.
I got to say, the ore is really tasty looking, though. You could just mine it out with your Jolly Ranchers.
Gets like candy inside fudge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that's candy? Like an M&M is fudge inside candy, or mm-hmm. chocolate inside candy. Is there anything that's the opposite?
Huh.
Like, I guess there's chocolate-covered raisins, but raisins are sort of bullshit candy.
Yeah.
Right. That's like if it was a chocolate-covered toothbrush.
You want, like...
You're like, fuck that.
You want, like, a chocolate-covered Jolly Rancher.
Yeah. Well, I don't really want one. Oh, you know, I guess I got some chocolate-covered Jelly Bellies for Christmas. That was pretty good.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. I think, Kevin, didn't you get me those in my stocking?
I might have.
It was pretty adorable. Thanks, bro. BFFs, buddy.
That's so cute.
I know. Kevin even made sure that the cats had stockings
and
got stockings for our mothers.
Yep.
Well, really, we got stockings for each other's mothers.
Okay, it's starting to get a little weird now.
I had this whole thing worked out where there were only so many... The monograms on the stockings didn't work out very well, and so in order to get stockings for me and Kevin and our girlfriends, I had to have Kevin and I go by our last initials and the girls go by their first initials so that there wouldn't be any overlap and I would be able to use just the letters that were available at Target. Then Kevin fucked the system up and there were like, he both mixed up the gender to color alignment that I had worked so hard. He bought stockings for the fucking cats, which is, I guarantee that they don't care.
What did you put in the cat stockings?
Treats and cat toys.
Mice.
Those little mouse, fuzzy mouse things?
No, real mice. Oh. It was gross.
They were pretty...
We just dropped a hamburger in each one of them and let nature do its work. Pretty soon there was a giant colony of mice. Oh, also, mice is what we call maggots. Yeah, it was a terrible Christmas. If next Christmas never comes, it will be too soon.
Mm. I had a lot of fun at Christmas, actually.
Yeah, me too. No, me too. I was sad because I had discovered a cocktail that I thought my mom would like, and then she was like, ugh, no.
Huh.
So, that's rats.
Well, you should.
My mom's not much of a drinker.
You should use your advice hot dog time to find one that tastes like either Coca-Cola or maybe Mountain Dew.
Yeah, okay. My mom does like both of those things.
So.
Maybe like something that tastes like refried beans.
Okay.
That'd be pretty gross. Oh. But I guess you could just use refried beans. Like if you put enough lard in them, it would be drinkable.
Didn't your mom liked those like strawberries filled with amaretto topped with whipped cream?
Yeah, she does like amaretto.
So,
you know, she likes things that are sweet. I think there was that thing listed in the Playboy Host and Bar book where we get a lot of our cocktail recipes, which is like a book that Playboy published in the 60s at some point. And it said to make this cocktail and then serve it to a girl with a deep addiction to chocolate.
Yeah.
And it didn't have anything chocolate in it, but it tasted like, I think it was equivalent to when you get one of those chocolate cake shots at a bar. Sometimes
or the
chocolate
martinis. Or I think it was pretty
easy. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You line the glass with sugar, and then it's even more sugary. I bet my mom would like one of those.
Yeah.
So anyway, basically, listeners, if you ever want to get my mom loaded, you need to. It needs to be something sweet, right? You catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Yeah.
My mom, in this case, is the fly that lays the mice in the stocking. I have not been playing any video games at all. So,
what?
Well, that is not true. I played the assignment, and I played a bunch more of that 10 million game for iOS, which I don't remember if I talked about last week or not.
I don't think
you did. Oh, yeah, you did.
It is not an amazing game, but it is just enough. It is just enough in the like dungeon raid sort of thing. It's like a sliding stuff and matching stuff while some shit goes on. It's very heavily time trial-y, which. And then there's a lot of upgrades that are more or less mostly timer upgrades because it's just like that you have a number of hit points that goes down over time and as you get attacked by monsters. And so most of the things are just like most of the upgrades are like make it take longer for them to do damage to you or whatever. or, you know, block a certain number of attacks from ranged monsters or whatever. You have this like little thing across the top where you're like running through a dungeon and you see what you're up against. And like, if you are at a chest, you have to match keys to unlock the chest. And if you're at a door, you have to match keys to unlock it. And if you're at a monster, you have to either match swords or staves. Huh. And then there's other stuff that you match that you collect resources to upgrade the parts of your castle in between levels that let you upgrade your vest and stuff.
Huh. So it's like Dungeon Raid with more persistent stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's just like a time waster. It's not really... I don't think that game has anything to teach us. And I played a little bit more Secret World, and I probably something else. I don't know. I played some game about a thing that bounces from block to block on Kongregate today, and then I played another game on Kongregate that was like... It was basically a clone of that game where you're trying to fix the car and there's zombies coming at you in waves, and it's just like this sort of weird resource management single screen platformer. Huh. Where you have guns that you somehow there's also a gun store. Only person left on Earth and you're trying to fix your car. I don't remember. Oh, Nuclear Plant. And it's about you growing a plant.
Okay.
To try and restore oxygen. There's no oxygen, but you're alive somehow. Like, your guy's not wearing like a scuba tank or anything. He just has guns. And you use a laboratory to get skill ups. And then you use the tree to make the tree grow.
Maybe he's developed some new kind of gunpowder that when it burns releases oxygen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he shoots a zombie and then huffs.
Well, they're
the
not
gun.
Zombies. They're like weird mutated animals.
Oh, okay.
There's like a cow monster that comes at you sometimes. And then I think there might be something that was like a Tyrannosaurus. I don't know where that came from.
Huh.
It's like, yeah, maybe the world-ending catastrophe also brought back a bunch of undead dinosaurs.
Cool.
That'd be pretty terrifying. Like an undead pterodactyl all the like raggedy wings with holes in them. That would be pretty scary.
I wouldn't want to get attacked. I would want to get attacked by an undead T-Rex much less than I would by a regular T-Rex.
Yeah, or an undead anything else, really.
Yeah.
Why would that
like an
matter,
undead tiger?
Riff. It's like, just more horrifying.
They're both like pegged on my horrifying meter, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a living dead dinosaur would not scare you more than just a regular dinosaur?
I think they would both scare me equally.
A regular dinosaur is something that, as we've learned from films, can happen just with science, right? Like, we could find that DNA and clone it, but making a fucking zombie dinosaur, like, that both scares you because, fuck, it's a zombie dinosaur, but also, fuck, zombies are real? Now what is next?
But
right? It's like...
Our worldview is shattered! To, like, stress about that while it's, like, eating your legs, right? Like...
Well, no, I mean, you probably see it coming. It depends on where you're at, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm assuming you're in a bunker with a lot of cameras everywhere. And like a meter for how many hit points your wall has. And so you just watch that. You're just sitting there watching a screen knowing that it's hopeless.
I think the meter for how much wall you have is how much wall is left.
You think?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, maybe each brick has an RFID counter in it that only triggers when it's adjacent to other bricks. So the thing could trick you. If it was a smart enough zombie T-Rex, it could trick you by just moving the bricks one at a time and making another wall behind it. And then it would sneak up on you. You'd just be like sitting there watching, you know, you'd be watching Saturday Night Live reruns or something, and then they boo. That's what a zombie T-Rex would sound like.
Huh.
What about you, Kevin? Video games?
So I continued playing Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines and got to the end and played through a couple of the ending sequences. It was pretty cool. In the late game, there are a series of quests where the only reward is like pinup posters that get put up in your apartment, basically. Like
henna posters.
Yeah, pictures of some of the main female characters from the game in, like, you know, old school pinup poses, like sort of naked, pin-up. Or scantily clad. Pinups?
It does have those fairly high-res textures for scenery objects. That was a thing that I remember impressing me about the engine of that game, is that there could be a thing on the wall that you could go up and it was actually legible, as opposed to just like a blurry-looking rock.
It's the Source engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's the Half-Life 2 engine, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Half-Life 2, I've played that recently too, and Half-Life 2 looks a lot better.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, Half-Life 2 was developed by Valve using their own engine, and this one was by Troika, who didn't probably know as many tricks as the guys. You can go down the hall and talk to the guy that made the engine, you're probably going to figure out how to do better stuff with it. It also could have been that the engine was more designed for the sorts of visual stuff that that they had in Half-Life.
That's true. Okay. And I was playing as a Malkavian, and there's a part in the game where there can be a part in the game where you're just walking by a TV and it starts talking to you, like you have a conversation with a newscaster.
That's great.
The dialogue as a Malkavian was like really good at the beginning, kind of like lackluster in the middle, and then picked up a lot at the end. There was a part where somebody asked me what my profession was, and one of my responses was egg salad sandwich. It's just super, super awesome. And the endings were pretty satisfying. Like there's a variety of different ways that the game can end, and some of them, you know, you're the hero, and some of them, not so much. And it's great.
How close am I? I quit just after getting to Chinatown. How close am I to the end?
I thought that was really close to the end, but it took me another, 10 hours probably after that of gameplay. There's that plus like two more sort of smaller acts, kind of. It's
nothing. Is there anything as horrible as the fucking sewers?
No, though? that is the longest, weirdest stretch in the game for whatever reason. There's a handful of additional like places to explore outside of the cities that you go to, but yeah, nothing nearly as long as those sewers. That was ridiculous. I don't understand how they thought that was okay.
Yeah, it was really really bad. Like I just.
Yeah, I don't know how a character would be able to survive that whole section without obfuscation, whatever that talent was. Because, like, sneaking around where they couldn't see you made that much more feasible. Having to actually.
Yeah, I mean, you can also just open the console and max out all your stats. That's how I did it.
Sure.
And even then, it was tedious, you know? It was like, I can't. Yeah.
And then the only other game.
It's good
that
it picks up again at the end, though.
Was the Seedling RPG on Kongregate. It's like a flash game. It's like a Zelda-like RPG. I didn't get very far in it, but it seemed to have some promise. It was like a bunch of little puzzle levels that you would progress through. You know, you get little power-ups to get further into different locations. The writing was kind of not so great, but the level design seemed to be sort of where it was at. I'll probably go back and try to play some more of that at some point next week. It's called Seedling.
Cool.
Yeah, that's about it.
What's new, Kevin?
Well, there were not a whole lot of news stories this week that caught my eye. The major one was that Battle.net was hacked. And that everybody who has a Battle.net account should change their password.
Is that really true? I thought I read what happened, and it suggested to me that it was not actually necessary for everybody to change their password.
I mean, they specifically said that everybody should change their password.
Yeah, they said everyone should change the password, but they were like, change your password, but it's probably not a thing, but change your password. And then I saw another couple articles that were like, yeah, definitely change your password because it's more of a thing than they seem to think it is.
They got your secret questions and the answers to them. They got the sort of the hashed version of your password and your email address. So they have everything except for your password to get in, and theoretically, I don't know exactly how that particular compression algorithm or that sort of hashing algorithm works, but I imagine that if they want to break a particular one, they can.
I wish that we could come up with something better than passwords in every way. Like the thing where in order to impersonate you on a website, somebody would have to actually have your head.
That would put a premium on people's heads, though, right?
Oh, man, and I hope if they used, like, your foot for biometric data, that would prevent you from it. Like, if you get diabetes, not only will you have to be in one of those wheelchairs for the rest of your life, but you also won't be able to play any more World of Warcraft.
Oh, man, I hope I don't get that sort of head diabetes where you lose your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although then I could have the head of Vecna.
That's true. You could become a reverse centaur. I mean, just put a horse head on you. In order to get one, I was just pissing off the mob. Oh yeah, I guess a reverse centaur would have fire magic. Oh, so then you'd never have to. You wouldn't have to keep buying fluid for your Zippo. You could just put the cigarette in your gross horse mouth, and then just snort some flame out of your gross horse nose and light it. I guess you'd have to snort and suck at the same time.
Huh. That sounds tricky. I guess if you can learn how to do that, you could also play the didgeridoo.
Yeah, that's true. The horse didgeridoo. What would that even look? How would you hold it? You'd have to get somebody else. Well, no, yeah. You still have a human body.
So oh, right. Pretty, yeah.
Yeah, you'd hold it just like a normal,
yeah, no
normal
problem.
Dipshit holds a didgeridoo. What else, Kevin?
EA announced that Origin is coming to Mac in 2012.
Did they say anything about, like, does this mean that they're going to port every one of their games to Mac?
They
or
did
are we
not
gonna
say.
Get like two games on Mac?
They did not say. So I don't know. I mean, Valve.
Yeah, you can actually only buy the Windows versions of games. Right?
Yeah, great.
Valve did a pretty decent job of porting a lot of their games, but they didn't do everything. And so I think that EA will probably do a lot of their games, but probably I can't assume that I don't think we'll be able to get everything on a Mac.
Right.
So, you know, I think it is important for Steam to have competitors, but I really do like the Steam engine.
Yeah.
I like a Steam engine, too. See, really, for a lot of purposes, it's the only way to get across the Atlantic.
Notch has been talking lately about how he fears that PC gaming will become just completely sort of under the nose or under the thumb of Steam, and that means that developers are all paying 30% of their revenues to Steam if they want to sell a game, which he thinks is a little usurious or
I mean, I don't know what
or whatever.
I don't know. The little unctuous.
Unctuous.
I don't really know what he thinks is going to stop people from just, you know, the internet provides you a lot of ways to get money from dudes and a lot of ways to give files to dudes.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
so, it's
I mean,
not,
stuff
I don't think he's worried about that as much as the fact that, like, Steam is becoming the juggernaut of distribution, right? Like, there's going to be, you know, there are always going to be dudes on the street corners handing out their zines, but they're not selling millions of copies of their, you know. Their
well,
newsletter.
So I mean, he's worried that other indie developers aren't going to be able to have the same kind of success that Minecraft has, where it actually reached a broad general audience. But I think that's not going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hardly
anything. It's interesting. His concerns about it. You know, who knows? I think Steam is trying to be a little more democratic in the way that it allows people onto the platform with their whole Greenlight project or whatever.
Greenlight initiative, yeah.
Yeah.
Project Greenlight with
yeah.
Dennis Leary.
Let's see here. There was a cool trailer for a game that Capcom and Don't Nod are making, which is called Remember Me. I don't know if you saw this at all. It looks kind of like a cross between Deus Ex and Total Recall.
Huh.
It's
I'm intrigued.
It's like set in the future. It's got like a pretty cool like graphical aesthetic, and the combat seems like either first person shooter or like, you know, third person over the shoulder kind of perspective. And it's the plot that I could sort of figure out was kind of Total Recall-y. Like, you don't know who you are, what's going on, but all
get
these people
your ass
are
to
trying
Mars.
To kill you. So
2 weeks. Yeah. Get ready for a surprise. Ice to meet you.
And so, and then CCP, the people who make EVE Online, are ramping up to release Dust 514 sometime later this year.
They've that was a thing that was already out.
No. They're in beta testing where they're isolating the servers from the EVE Online stuff, but like it's getting close to the point where they're going to start doing some cross-game tests where people in EVE Online can like carpet bomb planets and people on the planets can have some sort of effect on the world of EVE Online. Which I think that's kind of
They can fire BBs at the ships.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like resource management or availability or something, but like the idea of two separate games having sort of interesting interconnections.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting.
I think it's interesting in theory, but I don't know.
Well,
I don't know that I really think that idea has as much promise as it might seem like it does on the surface.
EVE Online is interesting in theory. Like, I don't think I would ever play EVE, right? But like, I'm glad that there are a couple hundred thousand people that do want to play that, you know. And like, I think that there will probably be a bunch of people who are excited by this kind of thing, you know. And maybe it'll bring players to both games or something at the same time. For all I know, you know, like, you know, they're doing stuff sort of orthogonally to a lot of the rest of the industry, and I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah,
you know.
Apparently Funcom's stock is in the toilet and they don't think that they're going to meet either of their possible sort of forecasts for how the Secret World was going to do, which makes me really sad.
That is really sad.
Because, you know, it's just like, because I feel like that just means they're going to lay off a bunch of dudes and they're not going to keep up the pace of content development. And it's just, I don't know. It sucks that I mean, I guess what sucks is that MMOs are so expensive to develop. Like, yeah. If you want to make an MMO where dudes are running around in 3D space looking at other dudes, which...
Or alternately, that MMOs don't have enough market to sustain.
Well, but they're so expensive to develop that doing anything new or risky is too dangerous, right? And so it's just failing WoW clone after failing WoW clone. And the Secret World is genuinely, genuinely novel, you know? But it's also not real accessible.
Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of marketing on it either.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think they bother. So. Right, I mean, maybe they do a lot of marketing in Norway, but I think, see, the other problem with MMOs is that there are a lot of things about the gameplay in MMOs that are kind of garbage compared to any other video game, just because of the way that the kind of synchronous nature of it has to be,
yeah,
you know, and...
So like you trying to go do something, but somebody else has already done it, so you can't do it for a while? Is that the kind of thing?
Yeah, like this guy told me to go open this crate, and I get there, and the crate is gone because somebody else opened it 30 seconds ago, and I have to wait a minute for the crate to come back. And it's like, you understand why it has to be like that, because it's a persistent multiplayer world, but it's still bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? It would be awesome if it wasn't like that.
I mean, isn't that what we were talking about with phasing or whatever? Why can't there be like much more fine-grained phasing of stuff?
I wonder if quests like that could be procedurally generated such that the guy would know, I just sent somebody out to get that crate, so I can't send this guy out to get the crate because need two crates.
It would be really
tricky.
So he
makes up something for else
I mean, I,
for you
I,
to do.
I have this dream that will be a thing that we see happen, is a sophisticated enough system, or, you know, like a clever enough system for making effectively that, right? Like a multiplayer world with persistent with a persistent world that you still do things that make a difference.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you go to the blacksmith's house, and it's like, oh, fuck, my shit just got stolen by these goblins. Whose camp is? Hold on a second. Let me find a place that nobody's been to for a couple weeks and put a goblin camp there, and then go get them. And if somebody else goes and raids the goblin camp and steals that thing, that sucks. Right? So, like, because, and if somebody goes, raids the goblin camp, gets this thing, and then just runs off with it, or just throws it in a lake, or whatever, yeah. Right? Then what do you do to the logic for that?
You hunt them down. You, like, you add some logic where a piece of their fabric with their, you know, that their mom sewed their name into gets ripped off. Right.
I found your underwear, buddy.
Yeah. Yep. What were you doing to those goblins? What it, like, it's gross. Yeah. Also, I think you need to see a toilet smith.
Poop smith.
Anyway.
Poop smith. Yeah.
Oh, there was also that man versus machine thing. Team Fortress 2 getting
that
some...
turned out to not to be as exciting to me as I hoped it was going to be.
What's the story there?
What it is it is. It's a co-op thing. You've got a team of six people playing Team Fortress 2 classes, and you fight wave after wave of these robots that are similar to Team Fortress 2 classes. What I was hoping that it was like single-player maps. Like playing a Half-Life 2 episode, except you're the Team Fortress guy.
A narrative where you moved through the world and did stuff.
Not necessarily even a narrative, just a crafted single player.
Something more like Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
Or Left 4 Dead 1.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it sounds to me like basically playing Team Fortress 2, except it's live people playing against bots instead of playing against other live people.
I kind of like that, honestly. I mean, I like the idea of it.
I think it's a good idea. It's just not what I was hoping for. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like, is there anything that like the spy can do?
Apparently his knife is a armor ruiner, and his thing that he does that messes up engineers' turrets works on robots, and I think robots can't see through his invisibility or something.
Okay. Well, I'll probably check that out. I think that's the news. So this assignment: American McGee's Sid Meier's Covert Action by Clive Barker.
Sid Meier is American McGee's? American McGee invented Sid Meier? Mm-hmm. Wow. My worldview is shattered again.
Clive Barker wrote it all, though.
Oh.
I mean, really, Clive Barker just wrote that one book in which everything in
Saint
our
Elsewhere.
World is said to... Yeah. Yeah. He wrote the pilot episode of Saint Elsewhere, thus cementing himself as God. Yeah, you know, I enjoyed watching a half an hour Let's Play by somebody who knew what they were doing in this game way more than I enjoyed playing it.
I really enjoyed playing it until I loved going to a agent's building and playing the tap the phone lines minigame, and then
that was fun.
Going back to the agency and decrypting all his phone messages and piecing together, okay, so this guy was talking to this guy, so that means this guy is the operative, and look, this guy over here must be the master evil dude. Time to go arrest him. Well, shit. The game just fell apart because the mini game where you actually have to break in and arrest the guy is bullshit.
Really? You didn't like it?
No.
It's kind of lame compared to the rest of the game.
It is weird that the lesson that Sid Meier learned from this game is it is better to make one good game than two great games, because I would not describe any of the individual games within Covert Action as great games.
It's more that don't make one game that is actually two very different games.
Yeah.
Make one game that is one game.
Yeah, I mean, he did make the point that you're doing all this investigation stuff, and then the things where you're actually moving around inside a building just take too long.
Yeah, it's clumsy and just way more difficult.
Yeah, it is weird. I didn't really figure out how to do anything in those, and so I enjoyed the decryption. I enjoyed the cryptogram solving thing. I didn't read any instructions or anything, so I just had a really hard time. I had no idea what I was supposed to do on the phone tapping minigame. Hmm. Like,
it took me a long time to realize that I was swapping out chips. I thought for a long time that I was just getting a new chip each time, but you're just swapping it out for the one that you have. So it becomes a lot easier to figure out what to do in the long term if you realize that.
Huh. Because there's a bunch that you can take without
changing
anything. Doing anything.
Yeah, if you have to figure out which ones you can take without changing anything. Yeah.
That's cool. But watching the Let's Play by Cemetery Gator, which I thought was a fairly clever name.
I was just about to ask you who did it so I can look it up.
Yeah. I played this for like, I don't know, an hour and a half or so, and I did not encounter a driving mini game, but somebody in our forums was talking about some sort of driving mini game. Is that a thing?
I would not really characterize it as a driving game any more than like Pac-Man is a driving game,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you watch
that you
a building
can go faster or slower.
If you watch a bit, I also didn't know where the controls were to make the car go faster and slower, and so it was like I knew how to switch between the two different cars that I was driving, which what the fuck is that? You're suddenly two dudes? Do you have like well, I'm going to put my horse half in this other car. And that has more horsepower, so it goes faster.
Only half a horse, though.
So a horse and a half can pull a cart and a half in a day and a half. I don't know. So there's a couple things that bothered me on the surface, neither of which is a reasonable complaint about a thing. But I kind of don't like games that are based on things that are actually possible, right? Like baseball or like a World War II game or whatever. I don't really like games set in the real world.
Okay.
And this is a very fictionalized spy version of the real world, but and I also have a really, really hard time sticking with games if the font they use isn't particularly legible. So like Darklands, I'm really interested in Darklands, but I will never play Darklands unless somebody ports it to a legible font version of Darklands because it's awful. And this, like, they were trying to stylize everything to be like whatever it was, right? But it was just like, oh man, this is so
the
ugly.
Cryptogram font was pretty terrible.
It was like, I cannot believe that this is how you decided to express a U in 6x6 pixels.
The U, and the V thing was pretty annoying. I would regularly screw that up. But almost everything else was legible, I feel like.
I don't know.
I mean, it was legible, but you kind of had to
It took
more milliseconds for you to recognize it than
it slows you down. It associates a little bit of cognitive effort with something that should be effortless.
Yeah.
And that just really, really grates on me when that happens in a game. You know, and just like there's one of the other typefaces that was used just had some holes in the letters. And it's like, why did you do that? Just don't do that. Just maybe make it so you can fucking read these things.
Like if the cryptogram font had just been like Courier typewriter font, that would have been both totally legible and totally appropriate.
Yeah. Yep. Or the font from the Apple II, you know, which you could just read. it's a neat piece of history, right? Because this was sort of a game from the tail end of when PC games could still get away with being super weird, just weird simulation-y things, and when accessibility was not a concern at all. It makes me really appreciate things like Master of Magic, where you could right-click on anything to, you had a mouse cursor, and you could right-click on anything to get more information and explanations about what something was. Or like Might and Magic 3, where anytime there was a word that you could click on to do something, if there was a shortcut key for it, that key was in a slightly different color so that you would just, the game would tell you all of the keyboard commands. Yeah. Whereas this one, like, oh, to take a photograph of this, you hit F2. Like, okay. Well, I guess this is an anti-piracy measure by it just being really fucking confusing without the manual. Sure.
It really made me, like, I've been searching for a concept for a game that would excite me enough to learn how to make it in Game Maker. And this is almost that. I'm not sure that Game Maker can handle text well enough to do a sort of remake of this game, but
I mean, it can. You
can it?
Yeah, you can.
I'll have to mess with it.
It's got a lot of drawing functions. You have to kind of learn how drawing works on objects to do it. But like in the tutorial that shows you that, did you go through the tutorial to make the little airplane game, the top-down shooter game? If you actually do that, the section on creating the status bar is super helpful.
Okay, cool. I'll look into that then, because the procedural generation stuff in it is pretty neat. If you did you look through the like the data files at all?
Not too much.
So a lot of them are, there's like some that are just plain text files, and there's some that are, I think, DAT files, which you can open in a text editor, and it shows you like the parts that a lot of the plots and telegram messages and stuff are being built out of. Huh. It's pretty interesting.
I was really dissatisfied with a lot of the actual procedurally generated stuff. Like the messages were like half like, you know, we must overthrow this government. You know, it's important that you plant this information here. Having a great time in Washington.
Threw in a lot of miscellaneous stuff to make the messages long enough that you could comfortably descramble them.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it could be better, like, but the number this was also years ago.
The number of times in 10 minutes of gameplay that I saw things that were obviously generated by the same template, you know, like was a little discouraging. And I mean, I know there's a chance of that happening, even if there were 10,000 different templates, but I don't think that there were.
I
feel like I see so little of that kind of thing. I find it really interesting when you finally do.
Yeah, thank you to the person. I mean, the person who suggested this game has apologized twice, but for serious, like, thank you. This was interesting. And I am glad that I know that this game exists, which I did not before. Although, once I saw the title screen, I was like, you know, I think I probably saw an ad for this in, like, Dragon Magazine or something.
Huh.
Dragon Irony Magazine. or Centaur Magazine. The pages in the back row was frozen together.
So, what are we going to play for next week?
So next week's assignment, Kevin, you suggested Mega Man, and I agree.
And I am dubious that I will enjoy it, but I also agree.
Yeah, with save states, you can beat Mega Man in an hour.
Yeah.
So do my Castlevania treatment where you beat Mega Man without ever taking any damage. I think there's a special ending where you get to see Dr. Wily's tits.
I'll look up what order to do the bosses in.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Mega Man 2 was the game that I got excited about, but I have played, at one point or another, I have played Mega Man 1 through 6. So I think I might try to play the first one and the third one and the sixth one or something and just try to...
I was thinking maybe of playing Mega Man and then like Mega Man X or something just to like have something.
So the assignment is Mega Man 1 and some other
and something
Mega
else
Man?
To compare and contrast, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, because they're fun. Mm. Like, they feel pretty good in terms of, like, jumping around and shooting and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mega Man.
Woo!
We'll see you guys in the Mega Man MMO.
The MMMMMMO.
Hey, guys, how about some listener's mail?
Okay. Wow, finally.
I know. Scarfidin says, edit and another question. Oh, wait, we've answered one of his last year. How do you feel about space-shifting console video games? I tend to have super bad luck with consoles. I've lost 4 PS2s to DREs and 3 360s to RRODs, and I foresee a future in which I won't be able to play any of my games without ripping them and emulating them on a desktop. I don't know what you mean by space-shifting. Is that when you hold down space and shift at the same time, and that lets you play any video game for free?
I guess he's talking about, like, duplicating his disc or getting a ROM and then of something he owns and then playing it on his computer instead.
I mean, I think it's kind of inevitable. You're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there are probably, like, there are Xbox games that I own that I can't play because they're not backwards compatible on the 360.
Yeah.
But I could. I don't know. I've never seen.
The PS3 I have, I specifically, like, it took me a while to get around to buying a PS3, and I bought that one because it was the last model of PS3 that had the backwards compatibility in terms of a hardware chip.
So space shifting is a technical term, or, you know, I don't know if it's a technical term, but it is a common term for place shifting or time shifting, like the ability to use the same media on a different. In a different format or a different location or whatever.
Okay.
So it's like a question of whether or not it's legal or morally right to do so, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly not immoral to, like,
sure. Take it might not be legal, but it's almost make it definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I sent my Star Wars cabinet off with an arcade repairman today to both fix the damage that it apparently sustained in transit to the power supply on the monitor, and also to install the Empire Strikes Back vector game conversion, which that's probably against the law, right? That's a ROM from an arcade game that I did not buy.
Huh.
So
is
who
it
knows?
Not a, is, it a, I mean, is it not a physical chip that he's inserting? Like,
It is. That's the thing. I don't like. I think that by buying those arcade cabinets, I actually own a license to run that software.
Yeah.
Not that anybody is actually enforcing that, right? But it's like with something that old, you know, with something that you can't play without doing weird shit with hardware or emulation or doing something weird to the data. Like, I mean, that's the only way that we're going to actually preserve the history of the medium.
Yeah.
Are you,
you know, and so
are you going to get the Zybots cabinet fixed too while you're at it, or
you know, I'm pretty sure based on what I told some dudes at California Extreme that fixing the Zybots cabinet is just a matter of turning a screw.
Really?
Yeah, that the monitor vertical size changing like that is just a thing that they drift out of alignment. They drift over time and you can just adjust it.
Huh. Interesting. Cool.
So, yep, I'm going to have to try it. Once you get back, you're going to have to help me move that fucking beast.
Yeah, well, we have to get the Millennium Falcon off the top of it, too.
Oh, no. I'm just going to take that. I'm going to take Riff's Lego Millennium Falcon, and then I'm going to have Millennium Falcon fights in my backyard.
Just tie them both from strings.
Oh, man.
Pull them both back and let them ram into
each
other.
Yeah, and then have somebody fairy dance between them. That'd be, you know, the structure inside those giant, we're talking about the giant, like, 5,000 piece Lego Millennium Falcons that Riff and I both just immediately bought, despite acknowledging how dumb it was to spend $500 on a fucking Lego Millennium Falcon many years ago. They're really sturdy on the inside, right? You knock a lot of pieces off, but, oh man, we could get people to, like, oh no, asteroids, and, like, throw eggs at them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ruinous. Man, talking about it, though, makes me kind of want to disassemble it and put it back together again.
I think the disassembly would be fun. Really... It hurts to take apart Legos.
Yeah, it does. I don't have one of those clever little tools that they made.
I think you could probably get one of those for, like, a quarter at the Lego store.
Yeah.
Old One says, hey, Zach, Kevin, and Riff, I have a girlfriend who I'm trying to get into gaming. She only has a DS Lite to play games on, but that isn't the problem. The problem is that she can only play games using one hand with fine motor skills. Plants vs. Zombies was all stylus-based, and that was a big success. I also got her some Brain Age games. My question is this. What games are there for the DS that are good for people who can only use one hand? Thanks. Love the show. You can probably play Professor Layton just with the touch screen.
You could. He says, fine. I'm wondering, like...
Like, can you use the buttons and the stylus?
Is she totally just one-handed, or is just the other one is not very dexterous? Because Picross 3D is a really good game along those lines, and it is...
I don't know that normal people...
It is largely stylus-based, but you kind of also use the D-pad, but it's not like... It's not a test of dexterity or anything. Yeah.
I mean, really, it seems like maybe save up some money and get her an iPad or an iPod Touch.
Huh, yeah.
Right, because there are a tremendous number of games that are very cheap for the iPod Touch that are designed to be, you know, you can really only play them, you know. Even like, I don't know, we met some people at California Extreme that work for this company that makes a game called Zen Pinball, which is just a bunch of virtual pinball machines.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It is good. And you could totally play that with one hand. Like, you could just use your index finger for the left flipper and your middle finger for the right flipper. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, fuck you, ball.
Yeah, and you flip it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really think of any other... like, the DS games that I liked were the ones that didn't use the stylus at all. That just used the other screen as a map or something, and... That's just kind of, I think, a bad hardware choice for somebody with that particular infirmity.
Yeah. It's been long since a good DS game, I feel like, came out that I'm not really... I mean, I guess...
Doesn't Nintendogs work just by calling the dogs all the time? Like, you don't actually ever have to push a button?
He said games.
Yeah.
Not... bullshit. It's like, I'm trying to get my girlfriend into total bullshit. Could you... Cooking Mama, actually.
Okay, sure.
I'm pretty sure that you can do that just with the stylus.
Yeah.
You know, not that it's like the greatest game in the world, but it is a real game. Let's see.
I'll think about it. I'll post in the forum or something if I think of any more.
And doesn't WarioWare Touch?
Only, oh yeah, that only, was sort of its thing.
It only uses the stylus, right? Yeah. Like, unless I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, totally start a forum thread because this is something that everybody will have suggestions.
Yeah,
for.
A hive mind will be better at thinking of this stuff than just the three of us. But I really would for somebody who wants to get somebody to play games casually. You know, somebody who's not going to get super into games, like, the stuff that you can get for iOS is just, there's so much good quality stuff that is extremely easy to play with one hand.
Yeah.
Like Porn Quest. Yeah. The Dog Delusion says, can you guys talk a bit about the New Game Plus feature? That thing where after you finish a game, you can replay it with improved characters, bonus items, unlock content, etc. in games. Despite Kingdom of Loathing's main storyline being relatively short from start to finish, I can't think of a single game that I've played through even half as many times as KOL, even including those with a New Game Plus feature or unlock content, etc. Kudos to you on that. When you created Ascension in KOL, what features of New Game Plus were you looking to capture or avoid? Were you even looking to create a New Game Plus type experience, or was Ascension meant to be something completely new or separate? You know, I don't think Josh knew about that as a concept, and I think for him it was just a sort of a novel idea that he arrived at outsider.
He always cites the, like, playing through was it Super Mario Brothers a second time, right, where things are harder.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, all the Goombas become Buzzy Beetles.
So it's interesting, right? I mean, in that one, everything just gets harder. And the second quest of Zelda is significantly harder than the first quest in terms of just being more confusing, right? Like, stuff is hidden.
Yeah, yeah.
More.
It doesn't give you as much pointers to things.
And, like, dungeon entrances are just under a random bush somewhere and stuff instead of, like, being big things that look important. You know, with KOL, it's obviously, like, the whole deal with the game is... just continuing to get more powerful over multiple playthroughs, and it's neat, and I wish that there was a large scale MMO that did something like that, because it's a way of keeping a large amount of your content relevant.
Yeah.
Do you not think of Diablo as doing that?
No, I do. Okay. Except that you eventually run out of them. Right, I mean, and you know, and I guess you are sort of, you could just keep playing it on the same difficulty level and leveling up, or whatever. But there's not, like, there's not really that much progression associated with finishing the game, right? Because I feel like the thing that I like conceptually about Ascension in Kingdom of Loathing is that because you bring a new skill with you from the start, every time you play through it, it is subtly different in terms of the verbs that are available to you, which things are going to be challenging versus which things are going to get easier over time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how much additional optional challenge you can handle, you know, by way of expanding your tool set. And I don't feel like Diablo really does that. I mean, I guess you can like, I don't know, as you level up, you do more damage innately, so you can stack on more item find and less survivability stats on your gear, maybe?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think
you're staying in the same difficulty.
Yeah. With a level cap, you know, I very much like starting over. You know? Yeah. Like, I would like Diablo if starting from the beginning meant, oh, I'm excited about this item that dropped because this is a thing that I can equip.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you started with no gear or only one piece of gear from your previous run or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If there, yeah, I don't know. I see what you're saying, but Diablo is different than what I want in an MMO.
Sure.
You know, that like reincarnation cycle where you are just level one again, but you're level one with some additional tools is the thing.
I mean,
that is,
and I feel like this is something that they could do in large scale MMOs like World of Warcraft. It would just require this notion of rebalancing in-game content for characters that had a lot of cross-class skills or something weird, you know?
Yeah, and that would get rough. I mean, that's a rough thing in KOL, is trying to design the game, design stuff that is at all interesting for people who have every skill from every class in the game, and that's not crazy hard for somebody who this is their first time through. Right? Which, it's, you know, if I had seen the outcome, if I had foreseen the outcome of the way that we did it, I think I would have done it slightly differently. But, you know, I've got a version of it in my head that I'm pretty satisfied with for the Word Realms MMO that I still need to talk to you guys about. I need to draw up a design doc to show y'all. This is one of those design docs that's like, yeah, fucking awesome shit, man. Glebe says, I've got video game designer's block. What are some of your favorite power-ups? What are some of your favorite power-ups?
I think I have to go with the Cloak of Darkness from Wizards and Warriors.
That just makes your character invisible.
It makes your character invisible so that you cannot see yourself, but monsters can still see you.
Good. Okay. Couldn't you just... aren't you always in the center of the screen in Wizards? But you could just like simulate it by sticking a post-it note over the direct center of the screen.
What else?
So one of the things that I think that the DS Castlevania games do very, very well, that by comparison, that Monster Hunter, that game called? The game by the Henry Hatsworth people that we played, was it Monster Hunter?
No, that's something else. It was
it was Monster something. Demon Scratcher? Centaur Wanker?
Pretty sure that wasn't it.
This is a different game. That was based on the Freddy Got Fingered license.
Monster Centaur.
We'll think of it. Yeah. Or not. Anyway, what the Castlevania games do is they give you these mobility power-ups, like Double Jump. Double Jump is so fucking good. It is so satisfying.
Yeah.
And
especially when you don't start with it.
Yeah. And even if you get it like an hour in, it's still like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So the mobility power-ups that you get in Castlevania games, latter-day Castlevania games, both get you through the things that it turns out are locks that it is the key to and are awesome.
Yeah.
Right? They feel really good to do. The one where you eventually get that thing that just lets you, like, reverse gravity repeatedly so you can just, like, slide along and slam into the ceiling and then fall and then double jump again and then slam into the ceiling again and then fall and never hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets awesome, right? And you wouldn't want the whole game to
or
be like that.
The space jump in Metroid.
Yeah.
Screw attack.
Yep. I Binding of Isaac is full of awesome power-ups that really fundamentally change the way the game plays.
Mm-hmm.
there's an upside and a downside to that, though, because sometimes you'll have a game where you just get fuck all for
Monster Tail.
Monster Tail?
I think so.
Something like that. Yeah, that sounds right, maybe. Monster's Tail? Monster Tail?
Yeah, those things were there were a few of them where it was like the rapid fire shot or whatever, and then the just horribly contrived lock mechanisms that took advantage of some new attack that you earned.
Yeah.
You know, and then they think, oh, this is like lets you do that rapid fire shot in midair, and there's one that's like slightly too high for you to shoot into.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool.
That was really blatant.
Yeah, and the way that they handled the backtracking in that game was also poor shitty. I really wanted to like that game. There were a lot of good things about it. What about you, Kevin? What's a good power up?
I mean, I was saying kind of the same thing. The things that are both weapons and mobility power ups, things that or that open up new areas of the game. Are kind of my favorite kind of things. Like, I mean, it's, you get it right away, but like ball form in Metroid is great. And then getting to lay bombs makes that both, you know, a thing that lets you into new places and is a new way to kill enemies. You know, like those kinds of things that are like actual fundamental different forms are great, I think.
Yeah. Like in Werewolf, The Last Warrior, being able to turn into a werewolf so that you can use the gun is just awesome. For was I just thinking of the
freeze beam? Honestly, the freeze beam is okay. Probably great because nice. It's like it is both a way to like stun enemies, but also you create platforms that you can jump on, and like that's kind of brilliant, really. You know. It's player created.
The boomerang in Legend of Zelda was cool because, and you know what? The freeze beam is better than like the gun in Mega Man that just lets you shoot a brick that you can stand on.
Yeah,
right. The boomerang, it is both a thing that lets you like pick up stuff from far away, and especially in like the Link to the Past context, you can use it to hit a switch that's on the other side of a gap that you can't cross. You can use it to stun enemies that are vulnerable to being stunned with it. You can use it to hit enemies without having to touch them, so if they're those assholes that shock you.
In contrast, the bow from the same game was also a mobility item, but the locks for it were just eyeballs on the wall that you shot, and it was a lot less interesting. Like it was a lot more obvious.
Yeah, in the later ones, it very much gets to be like everything is a key with a really, really obvious keyhole.
Right.
You know,
whereas,
I mean, there was that essay about how
doesn't feel like it has that issue.
But I mean, it didn't in the first game. I don't think it let you into any. You didn't have to get the boomerang ever.
No, not
right. There were very few items in Zelda 1 that you had to get. No. Like you can beat it without the sword. Like you can beat it without ever having a sword. But you need the raft.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you need the ladder to get across some critical path through dungeon gaps. Yeah, I mean, there was that essay that argued that Zelda got worse. The Zelda series got worse over time, specifically because, like, in A Link to the Past, where they started marking every wall that you could bomb, it just made a bomb into a key, right? It was a different kind of key. It was an explodey key that opened a rubble lock rather than, like, a thing that you might accidentally discover. And it took away a lot of the sort of wonder of exploring the world, but there was still enough of that in there.
Yeah.
One of these days we should do that as an assignment, because I would like an excuse to play A Link to the Past. Let's see. Anekaju says, Riff, are you excited about Pokemon Conquest? It just came out. It's Final Fantasy Tactics-style combat combined with Pokemon collecting, training, etc.
I've been meaning to pick that up. I haven't got around to it yet. It sounds interesting. it's the setting, primarily, is what interests me, because it's like medieval period Japan, like Nobunaga's ambition type tactical warfare with all the historical Japanese generals and shit, except also Pokemon, which is weird. And I like things that are weird.
Yeah, and you like Pokemons.
I like Pokemons. Wooper for life.
What for life?
Whooper.
Whooper.
He's my favorite one.
Really?
He's an axolotl.
You know, like Smugleaf?
Smugleaf is pretty good. He would be better if he were actually named that.
Oh, what is he actually named? I thought that was a real remember. Pokemon. It was a joke that you made about a Pokemon?
No, it was when the three starter Pokemon were revealed onto the internet, but their names were not revealed, and 4chan named that one Smugleaf.
Okay.
And there was a big... I think there was actually a petition to get the Nintendo's to get the English translation to actually call it Smugleaf, but it never happened.
What did they call it?
I don't remember. Something dumb.
Shitleaf.
Shitleaf.
Amos MJ says, question for Video Games Hot Dog Crew. Is the Kickstarter browse function useless, or am I doing it wrong? Based on listening to you guys, I've gotten interested in funding some Kickstarters. I've stumbled across a few and funded them, but when I try to go in and browse games, unless I want to look at every game, it seems like there's no good way to filter and browse. Give me an education on how to use Kickstarter intelligently, please.
My experience is just you have it bring up that big list of games, and you look through until you see one that looks interesting. I mean, they aren't really tagged for... game type or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't really, there's not a lot of indexing that occurs. I don't think that I've ever found something on Kickstarter and funded it. I've always seen it, like, it'll get linked to from one of the other news sources.
Yeah,
that I follow.
look on like every week on Rock Paper Shotgun, they do a Kickstarter catch up or something they call it that lists all the Kickstarters
John Walker,
that they think
mustered all of his strength to make that list.
Uh-huh. I mean, I tend to rely
a lot
on,
of money by the time he funds them all.
I tend to rely on external resources to, like, curate Kickstarter for me. You know, like, a bunch of people will suggest Kickstarter projects. I don't necessarily go to Kickstarter itself to try to find stuff.
Yeah, I find that Boing Boing will randomly point to cool stuff every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know. IndieGames.com is fairly good at telling you about stuff. I don't know where people find out about... Because, you know, board games on Kickstarter tend to do really well,
yeah,
it seems.
But how do people...
But I don't know. I don't know how you find out about that. Maybe you hang out on Board Game Geek.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Board Game Greek, which is about how to make replica versions of classic board games out of yogurt. The Rum says, hey, Zach and Riff, I was hoping you'd talk a little bit about Edmund McMillan and The Binding of Isaac. I really love the design of the game. How do you feel about Wrath of the Lamb, especially the 1.3 update? Although I thought the balance and randomization were a little wonky at first, I think he's improved the game to the point where it's now better than after the Halloween update. Have you played any of his Super Meat Boy or pre-Super Meat Boy games? He's always been an interesting designer. I'm partial to Aether and Grey Matter, and I think Super Meat Boy may be the best platformer of all time. Time Fukuk does crazy things with narrative and randomization. His Form Spring has lots of info on his design process. Thanks. He seems like a cool guy, having watched Indie Game, the movie. I had played Aether, and I had played Cunt, and something. I don't remember if I played Time Fuck or not.
I think I started playing it and then got distracted or something.
It's neat. I maybe have already released like a compendium of all of his older stuff on Steam, which that's pretty cool. I feel like...
Didn't he do Gish?
Did he do Gish?
I think he must have because it's one of the Easter egg bosses in, now that I think about it.
Hmm.
So yeah, that was okay. Again, I'm not real into platformers, so I found that too hard, and so didn't finish it.
Yeah, I remember playing a few minutes of Gish and just saying, this is not a thing that I want to play.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool, and I respect it, but it wasn't for me.
Sort of like the Smashing Pumpkins album of the same name. Like, you know, it's great that you can disarm me with a smile, but I don't really want to cut you. It wasn't even on Gish. I think that was on Siamese Dream.
I have no idea. I don't know from Smashing Pumpkins.
How do you feel about it, Kevin?
I like Kevin. He's cool.
I'm having a hard time following the conversation because the quality of the audio on your end is getting so crappy because the phone call's degrading.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Should
what do you
I stop
about
just
Edmund
hissing
McMillan?
Into the microphone?
I never played any of his earlier stuff. The first thing I've played is Super Meat Boy of his.
I think Riff has turned into a snake centaur. He's got the body of a person and the head of a snake, which lets him cast grass magic?
Ice magic.
Wait, what centaurs? You fight with the centaurs over that domain?
I mean, I guess being half snake, half centaur, I would be like a half elf, right? I'm not liked in either the centaur
with
or
a half
the snake.
Snake
lands.
A half snake, half centaur. So that's like a centaur with a snake coming out of its ass?
Sure.
Okay. Like the horse head ate a swallowed a snake whole. If a snake ate another snake, so like they just swallowed their prey whole, right? So how many snakes could you get nested?
Oh man,
like Russian snakes.
Whoa, yeah, awesome.
How many, Riff?
I don't know.
Answer the fucking question,
man. I am not a snake scientist.
That's the theoretical snake-assist.
Yes.
Okay, well, that was all of the listener's mail that I collected probably 5 months ago for us to do a listener's mail segment. I'm gonna collect some more because I had a pretty good time doing that segment, and because we hadn't been playing much of anything, we had plenty of time for it.
Yep.
That said, I think it might be time to be done unless anybody else has anything they want to talk about.
Can't think of anything.
Well, so I mean, I'd like to tell our listeners how to contact us.
Yeah, do that.
Oh, you should.
You can tweet at us, at VGHotDog. You can email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. And you can forum us, VideoGamesHotDog.com.
Hooray!
Yeah, do that. Go do
all
of those things.
Do some or all of those things.
And I think we forgot to tell you this on the last episode, but you should write a review on iTunes saying favorable things about us. And you should tell all of your friends to look us up on iTunes and listen to our Video Games Hot Dog, the podcast. Good
Indeed.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great week, everyone.
Mo, 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 mo.